Welcome to the What's Awesome Podcast for all your anime needs. We do lists, guides, reviews, and anime-related topics. From time to time, we'll even bring on a guest or two. Kick up your feet and relax. And here's your host, Batman Live 2002.
Little boys and little girls in hentai having sex with full-grown men and women? Seems... we have a lot of that in our hentai and anime, don't we?
ポッドキャストをお聞きいただきありがとうございます。楽しんでいきましょう。
Thank you for listening to the What's Awesome Podcast. Let's have some fun.
Yo, it's Batman Live 2002, and today I have a new segment on my podcast for you. So today is instead of your regularly scheduled program of hentai reviews and whatnot,I am going to talk about something, a series of topics of things I've noticed watching hentai, specifically for this podcast. And it's obviously these are things that, you notice just throughout just watching anime, just throughout your life, just like in general.But, like, specifically, ever since I started watching hentai for this podcast, it's just things that it just started to become more prevalent to me, something that I, like, noticed regardless of the podcast, but it's just I didn't really think about it because it's, well, we'll get into that. But, you know, I was like, why is this a thing? Now let me put out a warning that I will give just all throughout the podcast.If you're feeling attacked or threatened or feel like I'm, you know, coming after you specifically, I'm going to need you to get over yourself. All right, I'm going to need you to get over yourself. This ain't an attack. I'm not talking to any individual. All right, I'm talking to the group. I'm talking to the anime community. All right, I'm pointing out facts. All right.I'm not going to call anybody any names, and there is no judgment over here on the What's Awesome Anime Podcast. But, you know, there's some topics, some things about our community, and the hentai specifically, but, you know, anime as well, that, that need to be talked about. Most people don't want to talk about it, so we're going to talk about it today. And obviously, as you've heard from the intro and from the title, as you've discerned by now, we're going to talk about lollies and shotas, which is little girls and little boys in hentai. Now, let's just point at the, let's address the 500-pound gorilla elephant.Gorilla elephant, isn't that like an avatar? You know how they have like multiple animals kind of just formed into like one animal. Anyway, let's talk about the 500-pound gorilla elephant in the room. Little girls and little boys having sex. Last time I checked, that falls under the category of animated child pornography. Now, yeah, you probably...In your mind, you're like, oh, well, you know, it's animated. No one's getting hurt or anything. And you know what? We're not even going to talk about whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, you're going to have to just determine that for yourself. But the fact of the matter is, loli hentai and shota hentai, and I'm not talking about that, you know, vampire, I'm a 1,000-year-old bullcrap. Get the fruit out of here with that nonsense, okay? Nah, son. I'm just talking about a...prepubescent little girl and a prepubescent little boy having sex is animated child pornography. Now, whether you accept that or not, that's on you. I'm not even attacking the fact of whether or not you watch that mess. I watch plenty of it for the podcast, but just in anime, in hentai in general, you just can't get away from it. Like, you literally can't get away from it. Especially, like, with today's anime. And, like, I'm gonna speak about anime and hentai being, like, separate from one another. Like, tell me the last time you watched an anime. A season of anime. Like, you know how they come out season-wise now, where you get, like, 30 per season or some mug like that. Tell me the last time you had a season of anime where, like, half the shows didn't have, a sexy lolly in it in some way, shape, or form, all right? Like, there's, like, obviously they're going to be portrayed in some sort of way where they're kind of cute and adorable or whatever. But, like, really think about it. Like, and get over yourself if you're, like, oh, no, this, you know, is just the artist expressing it. Get the fruit out of here, all right? All right, nobody being attacked. Just look at the facts for a second. When was the last time you saw a season of anime? And this is mostly lollies. Shotas are a thing too, little boys. But it's mostly lollies. When you didn't have a sexualized lolly in some way, and like, what I mean by sexualized, the outfit being a little skimpy, or like the lolly getting into inappropriate situations or making, you know, sexual references in one way, shape, or form, even if it's extremely subtle. You know, just go back and just think about the last few seasons of anime, and there's going to be tons and tons and tons of lollies that don't fall into that category, and you could probably throw them all back at me. It's like, oh, well, look at her, and look at her, and I was too lazy to get a list, okay? I can get a list of all the lollies that, you know, aren't sexualized or aren't treated in that manner, which is fine. Of course, there's going to be a ton of characters or lollies and shoulders that don't fall into that category. But I'm willing to bet that I can throw back a list just as big that are sexualized right back at you. Anyway, so, like, this is one of those things where I'm not telling you, like, oh, shame on you for watching this stuff. Shame on you for, you know, watching this animated little girl getting it on and popping, you know. I forgot what was the hentai I watched. Tiny Evil's like one of the hottest hentai I've ever watched, and you know, in terms of like the animation and the actual scenes and whatnot. But Tiny Evil is about a bunch of succubus lollies. So what do you think that's about right there? About a bunch of little girls, and then again, I think. With a succubus, I don't know what the age gap is with that. Like, if you're supposed to be, you know, 1,000 years old or some crap. But I'm just in the body of a little lolly. Get the fruit out of here. That's just a workaround it. You know it is, and I know it is. It's a workaround. But regardless, this is just something I wanted to, like, just talk about. Just talk about. But anyway, Tiny Evil. You know, just being, like, incredibly just one of the, like, in terms of what hentai typically brings to the table. I was like, man, this is, like, hot. But what the fruit, man? Like, what? Why? Why? Why is it always lolly? Why is it always lollies? Why? Like, what is it that it makes this acceptable? Like, what do people find when they're, like, watching this stuff or... And these are questions I can ask myself as well. But it's like, what is it about this stuff that, like, the anime community in general is, like, extremely, like, we find it to be, like, acceptable and normalized? Like, you can go and, like, there are full-grown men, like, full-grown men and women, actually. Not just, but it's from my experience, it's been mostly men. But I'm sure there's a bunch of females who do this as well. Who have lolly waifus. And you know, like, when you think about that, like, a waifu is your, you know, imaginary wife, right? And with your wife, and being a married man, I can tell you from experience, this is the person that you share all your intimacy and passion and all that kind of stuff with. But also, that's the person that you want to bang a lot. And it should be the only person you're doing that with if you're married. And so with a waifu, normally, it's like you, most of the time, at least from my experience, a waifu is someone that you're attracted to, right? Like, and there are some things, like, it goes beyond just physical attraction. Like, you can look, and it's like, oh, man, my Valentine from Yu-Gi-Oh! She's strong and brave and skilled, and she knows how to really work that Harpy's feather duster. So, I'm sorry, I'm stupid. I'm watching Yu-Gi-Oh! Right now. So, it's the only thing that comes to mind. But, you know, so... when some people choose their waifus, they're looking at beyond just the physical appearance. They're looking at, you know, some of the things that make them attractive on the inside just as much as on the outside. But I'm willing to bet, again, I can't speak for anybody. I'm just assuming here that most of the time when you pick a waifu is because you're attracted to that character because they're, you know, cute or, you know, hot or whatever like that. And in our community, it's okay to have a loli waifu. And unironically, by the way, there's a lot of people be like, gosh, you know, she's a, you know, I chose Rory Mercury from Gate, who's a 1,000-year-old demigoddess, which is another one of those workarounds where, you know, she's a little girl. She acts very sexual towards the protagonist, but, you know, she's 1,000 years old. So it's cool. You know, it's all right. We can do the Rule 34 with her. You know where we can, anyway, you know what Rule 34 is, but regardless, you know, it's okay for in our community to have full grown men and women to have waifus who are prepubescent little girls and, little boys. And there aren't too many like shotas, little boys who fall into this category. Like, or at least that are, like, as sexualized, is normally is a female thing. But the, because the only character that truly comes to mind that's not hentai and that's not freaking Boku no Pico, which I've never seen and maybe will review for this podcast as I throw up my guts. But, the only character who fall, like, is not, like, sexualized in any way, but it's Honey Senpai from... around high school host club. Like, that's the only character that I can think of that would probably be a husbando to somebody who's like a little boy. I'm sure there's plenty of them, but there's a billion more lollies than shotas. But anyway, back to my point is, in our community, it's okay to have that kind of relationship, or at least to view those type of, you know, children in that relationship. And, you know, I just wonder why. Like, I've gone to Anime Expo, sadly, and then go last year because it was canceled because of COVID-19. And this year, again, COVID-19. Screw you, COVID. Hopefully next year we'll be on and popping again. But, you know, I've been going to Anime Expo for the past, like, friggin' 7-8 years or so. It's been a while. I've been going for the past, yeah, let's just say nearly a decade I've been going. And, you know, you can see full-grown men walking around with a body pillow, like a loli body pillow. What do you think people do with them body pillows? So, first of all, let me just explain what a body pillow is for the people who don't know what that mug is. A body pillow is a pillow, obviously, that is the length of your body to a certain extent, depending on how tall you are. But I have a body pillow myself, but it's like probably up to my, I don't know, to my chest if I were to stand it up. So it's like the size of a person, like an actual person. So it's a body pillow, and you can use it for various chiropractic things where you're like, oh, I'm going to lay long ways and cuddle with it and that kind of stuff. But oftentimes in the anime community, a body pillow will have a sleeve on it or a pillowcase, and the front of the case of the pillowcase will have a picture of your favorite, you know, anime character. Normally is a hot girl in some way, shape, or form. Oftentimes that's how it is. And they're not all lewd. You know, like there's a ton of body pillows that, you know, aren't lewd. They're just, they just have your favorite character. You can set them up in your room. They look freaking awesome. But a ton of them are lewd. And the front of it, the lewd ones, the front of it is your hot chick or hot guy. There's a lot of hot dude body pillows. But then on the back of it, at least the one I have. So I'm sorry, let me get my thoughts together. So the front of it, it's the character, and they're like, oh, the senpai, you know, they're doing the little senpai thing where they're kind of curled up and they look a little innocent. Their leg is kind of like, ah, and they're wearing a little sexy outfit. But then when you turn the pillow around, and now you get the back end, you see behind them. It's like you turn them around, like you're going to bend somebody over kind of mug, you know? And that's how a lot of these lewd body pillows are. And you see at a lot of these conventions, and I've seen this firsthand, full-grown men, mostly dudes, walking around with these body pillows of lollies. And they're in these super skimpy outfits, and like they're wearing like fishnet stockings, and they're ripped, like the stockings are ripped. And it's like very provocative. And I'm not being the provocative police, you know, I'm not being the lewd police up in this mug. It's just an observation. It's just an observation, something I noticed. And it's something in our community that's accepted. You know, you can see a full-grown man walking down the streets of Los Angeles with a lewd body pillow. And if you're part of the convention, like, ah, oh, man, he got a lolly waifu, that's cool. Like, that character's cool, and then you can start talking about the personality stuff. But why you got a body pillow with the character being super provocative? What are people doing with these body pillows? You're not just sleeping with that mug. I don't think. I've seen too many videos on certain special websites of people doing special things with these pillows. But regardless, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I have a body pillow that... I can't even think of the character's name, but she's that giant chick from Seven Deadly Sins. You know who she is. You watch Seven Deadly Sins. She's the big giant chick. And me and my waifu, we bought, my actual real life wife, we bought this body pillow because, like, oh yeah, that's awesome. And it's like one of those provocative ones. It's pretty hot. Like, I love having it. But regardless, you know, you have full grown dudes walking around with these body pillows, and it's just, you know, accept it. No one bats an eye. And, you know, I'm not sitting here saying we should ban such behavior. I'm not going to condone it either. I'm not going to judge you. Maybe I'll go and buy one day. Who knows? This is like it's not a safe zone. Because it's like that word, like this podcast isn't a safe zone. Like, I'm not going to say, like, oh, you can come here and have all your darkest desires just laid out and listen, old Batman Live, and listen to you. No, not necessarily. I'm going to have my own thoughts and feelings on all this kind of stuff. It's just an observation. I'm not going to judge you on it. I mean, you know, it's an observation that it's a lot of stuff that people don't tend to talk about when they talk about, you know, having, you know, lollies and shodas, and especially hentai, you know, just straight hentai, lolly or shoda hentai. You know, no one's going to talk about it, but it's animated child pornography. No one talks about it, though. So I'm going to observe it. And I have observed it. I've reviewed, and you know that all my hentai reviews are very random. I don't go and choose the hentai I watch. Directly, I go to my anime list. I pick A through Z. I pick, like, oh, today I'm gonna go to D. And then I kind of just close my eyes, point at the screen, and whatever hentai comes up is what I'm watching. And so, yeah, you can go back and you can listen to quite a few of these specific type of hentai that I watch with lollies and shodas and whatnot. Mostly lollies. But anyway. And, yeah, it's very widespread, and it's, like, depicted in a way where sometimes it's, done in a way where the character, how do I phrase this? It's like, I think it was in Tiny Evil, at least the first half of Tiny Evil, where like the lollies are depicted in the way where it's like, yeah, you know, she's kind of adult, like they scale up the size of like the boobs or something, right? Or like they'll size up certain body parts on the character, so it's like, well, you know, we all know what age she is, but look at her, she's like a woman. And that's only what the ones that try to get away with it. A lot of these hentai are just straight up, nah, that's my little sister. She's like 6. It's on and popping. But anyway, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to be right back with more. I'm back, baby. Anyway, as I was saying, and this is something this Lolly Shota thing isn't just in hentai, as I've said, it's in anime too. It's like more and more prevalent than it's ever been, but it's always been there. You can go back to a lot of 90s stuff. I don't know about the 80s, but a lot of the 90s is when anime is really blowing up anyway. And like, how many like lollies have you seen where, you know, you get the lollies in like lewd positions and panty shots, and like it can be subtle. It can just be a panty shot. It's okay. It's just a panty shot. Don't worry about it. But is it though? Is it okay though? And that's really the question that, you know, the question I want to pose is, do you have a problem with it? I don't think most of us do. Because it's like, it's normalized. It's like something that's part of our community. It's like literally like part of the identity of like anime and hentai now, more than ever anyway, is like lollies. Sexualized lollies is literally part of the identity. But like imagine though, like if another community did this, like let's say Marvel. And like the next group of superheroes were a bunch of like sexy little girls. Sounds like I should be. It's like you're going to prison, boy. But you know, like they're a bunch of little girls who are presented in a way where they're being sexualized, is what I mean. Would people accept that, or would people have an uproar over that? In fact, you know what's funny is that. I've seen more people in our community get pissed about a decision about a character's romantic life, and they'll threaten the author. It's like, we're going to burn your house down because you don't want to have X character get with Y character. Get the fruit out of here, first of all. But they'll get more pissed about that than lolly hentai. And, like, we're not even talking about the little panty shots. Now we're just talking about full-on lolly, full-grown man, full-grown woman going after a prepubescent little boy or little girl or both in the same scene. There's lots and lots and lots of this kind of stuff. But anyway, so, like, going back to the fact that this stuff isn't just in hentai, it's in anime as well. Like, how many lollies, like, have you seen in your anime? Like, just like go back over the past, I don't know. It depends on what genre you watch too. Like, obviously there's a lot more lollies in romantic anime or something than like, let's say, action, even though there's plenty of those too. But anyway, like go back and like think about it, and like how often, like how were those lollies portrayed in those anime? Like, what kind of outfit? Like, it can even come down to the outfit itself, where it's just like it's a dress or even a school outfit, but the skirt's a little short. It's okay though. It's, you know, she's not doing anything sexual. She's still kind of, you know, she's just being a cute little lolly. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You cool, man. You cool. You cool, baby. But and that's me, that, like, when I do that, that's me pretending to be someone who's deflecting at me with, like, an argument. But anyway, like, how many have you seen, like, how is the outfit? Like, is she dressed like a normal little girl, or is she dressed like a stripper? And I can give you a list of 1,001 lollies that are, you know, stripper-esque. And Get Over Yourself is not just a battle outfit. it's like, oh, it's a Batman Law 2002. It's just a battle outfit. Yeah, sure, but, you know, her male counterpart probably has full plate armor or full body armor or whatever the heck kind of era the anime is in tends to be, you know, they tend to be fully decked out. But then, and this is, like, this is a whole different argument about how, like, girls versus men versus women are viewed in anime or portrayed in anime in general. How like freaking Queen's Blade is the worst offender. Queen's Blade, all the chicks are wearing freaking nipple tassels and that's their whole and freaking jewel encrusted thongs and that's their whole body armor. And then like they'll do like a freaking transformation or they'll level up their armor and now they got like a tiny little nipple ring and now it's like, ah, I'm more protected than ever. I'm more powerful. And then like you'll see a dude come on the screen, he has full friggin' plate armor, looking like a friggin' juggernaut from Call of Duty or something, fully protected against any and everything that can come his way. That's a whole different conversation, but anyway, it's kind of funny. That's actually pretty hilarious. I always make fun of Queen's Blade for that. I don't even like Queen's Blade that much, but I'll always make fun of Queen's Blade and other. There's tons of anime like that. But anyway, I'm going on a tangent here. But, you know, how often, like, how is the lolly character dressed? How are they portrayed? How many kind of references are they making that are not exactly appropriate for a character of that age? You know, are they dressed like a little girl? Or are they dressed appropriate for their situation? Or are they dressed like a stripper? Or are they dressed in a even slightly provocative way to, you know, it's almost like it's the writers have fallen into a, I was going to say meta, but that's, I don't know if that's exactly the way I would phrase that. It's kind of a weird, I don't even know if that's appropriate. But anyway, for this, to describe this, but, you know, they've kind of fallen into this, like, I guess it's, I don't even know if you can call it a trope, but, you know, the sexual little girl or the girl, the lolly that's dressed or acts inappropriately for, you know, a girl that age. I guess you could say it's a trope now for the anime community, but, you know, and anime is just full of tropes. Grinds my gears. You know those episodes where I talk about anime tropes, anime nopes, and anime hopes. But anyway, I guess you could say that's a trope now for us. A trope, a cliche, whatever you want to call it. But so, because anime is so, like, ingrained with cliches, like, everything is just, like, it's, there are so many tropes and cliches, like, the character who doesn't have any, the parents are never present, or the protagonist who sits by the window in class. You know, like he's the third seat down or some crap and always seated by the window or the fact that, you know, love interests tend to be childhood friends and then they'll come 15 years later and then try to pursue a relationship, that kind of stuff, you know, tropes. And if I invite you to go listen to my What Grinds My Gears where I scream about these things, but, you know, and perhaps sexualized lollies, and not so much shodas in this case, we'll just say sexualized lollies, have perhaps become a trope. Maybe. And maybe that's why we see so much of it. But anyway. Yeah. I wrote like 2 pages of notes, and I'm not reading any of them. I'm just talking at this thing, about this thing. But anyways, I have a question for you. I have a question, folks. I have a question for you. So at the end of the day, you know, like lolly hentai, which is just straight anime child pornography. If you don't agree, just first of all, you need to ask yourself what the definition of that is. and then what the definition of animated stuff is, and it is what it is. It's a little girl literally having sex. Like, it's what else can you describe it as? Get over yourself if you're offended. Just get over yourself. Anyway, my question for you, my good people, is do you have a problem with this stuff, with loli hentai and just lollies, how they're portrayed sexually in anime in general, and shoujos? Do you have a problem with that in the sense that you're disgusted that it exists? Like, so it is a twofold question. So do you have a problem with it? Do you have a problem with the way that, like, you're disgusted by it? Like, oh my gosh, this is just appalling. I hate it. Just disgusting. The people who create this should all be in prison. And the people who consume it should also be in prison together. Dropping the soap. All at the same time. And the second part of that question is whether or not is this what you're specifically attracted to? Like, is this something you, like, the fact, like, let's say you watch it, which a lot of people do. Is this sex with a loli, sex with a shota, what you're specifically attracted to? Like, is this the reason why you watch this stuff? Because I could tell you I've seen plenty of hentai and anime with that kind of stuff, but I'm not coming to watch it because it has a bunch of lollies in it, a bunch of shotas. I'm watching it for my podcast. And also, I've come across this stuff during a more private time. It's like, oh, well, there it is. Like, you know how, like, you have videos up and then you tend to have 10 browsers open. Maybe it's just me. Anyway, I think I'm telling myself too much. But regardless, the second question is whether or not is this the specific reason why you're watching it, to see just that, just to see the loli, just to see the shota and the interactions that come with that specific situation. And I will say this is another thing people don't tend to talk about, is lolicons are a real thing. Lolicon are people who are attracted to prepubescent animated little girls and little boys. Like, you know, like in anime, it's like, oh, you're a lolicon, ha ha ha. And like, it's the protagonist, he's being accused of liking a little girl or something, a little lolly. And then the guy's like, no, the wind blew me over and I just grabbed your little titty that don't exist. And so lolicons are a real thing in this community. There are entire communities, real segments in the anime community. I can tell you this because they exist. There are so many different posts you can find on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that. And there'll be a picture of a loli and there'll be so many dudes up. It is mostly dudes. And yeah, there's chicks in there, but it is almost exclusively dudes. You can fight me on that. It is true. Who are like making certain comments and like, oh man, that's my waifu and I wish that something, something. But anyway, but yeah, lolicons are an actual, like, part of this community. People who loot lollies. Like, this is like what they do. This is like they're like in this is just their thing. And I remember, like, and maybe you can remember this because it was not too long ago, but there was a time when, like, sites like Facebook and a lot of other websites, Google and all that, they banned the word lolly. And why do you think they did that? Like, think about it. Why do you think they banned the word lolly? Because of what they would bring up, like, in the searches and whatnot. Like, it's a bunch of sexualized little girls, right? And people lost their marbles. People were going freaking crazy. People were just blowing their loads, man. Why did I say it like that? People just freaking, they were losing their minds. Freedom of speech. Oh man, if they take lollies, what are they gonna get the fruit out of here? You know you ain't arguing about no freedom of speech. Get the fruit out of here. Anyway. But what do you think that is? Why do you think people like lost their minds? And a lot of people are openly doing it. Like when you're on Facebook, It's not like it's Instagram or Twitter where you have a, you know, an account that can't really be traced back to you. You know, it's like, it's not you, it's your online persona. Like, for my online persona is Batman Live 2002, right? So on Twitter, or What's Awesome. So on Twitter and Instagram, you know, I'm What's Awesome. But on Facebook, I'm me. I'm the my actual person, the actual real life person who has family and friends and all the connections that you can see from that. Business owner and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people that you can see who they are and their connections and family and friends and all that. And they're like openly like talking about this stuff. Why? Why is that? And that's the whole point of this podcast, really. Why is that? So that's so like acceptable. Like, are we just so used to that in our little anime community? You know? And again, this ain't an attack. I ain't calling nobody a pedophile or nothing. It's just a presentation of the facts. It's just what it is. It is what it is, you know? Not calling you no names and all that. Just observations. Just stuff I'm looking at. The whole point of this new segment is they're just observations. And something I observed. You know, like, people are, like, plainly walking around with the, you know, the sexualized body pillows and the, you know, the talking about this kind of stuff online when you can discern the identities of people. Like, this is the kind of stuff that people used to do in back alleyways or little private little chat rooms that no one can track you to. Like, no, you know, like, nobody can track you. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I watched this and that. And, you know, everyone's anonymous. No one knows what, though, who's who. But we openly talk about this. A lot of people, not everybody, you know, it's called generalization, just in case you don't know what the definition is. Generalization is when you talk about a group, like, let's just say, an example, I'm a black man, by the way, but, like, the Black Lives Matters, riots and stuff. It's like, oh, I guess all black people riot, huh? It's like, of course not. it's just a small segment of the entire, you know, black community. But generalization, you'll say, oh, it must be, like, you'll refer to the group, and you're really specifically talking about the one segment, but you often say, oh, it's the entire group, it's the entire, you know, black community, it's the entire anime community, whatever. But really, it's just the people who do it within the community, which tends to be a small segment. I don't know how big the segment is in this community that, you know, partakes in this stuff, but it's big enough to have me notice it anyway. It's, you know, it's there. But anyway, but yeah, guys, you know, it's just, that's just how it is. And, you know, I often wonder, I just met up with my best friend, the guy who helped me to come up with the name of the What's Awesome brand. We were eating sushi, and he's like, oh, What's Awesome, dude, don't talk about wasabi. But anyway, and we were like making jokes about like what anime, you know, what I'm gonna show my kids when I'm not gonna have any kids, but I have like little brothers and sisters. And I was like, oh, when they come of age, you know, I'll show them this anime, which, you know, you watch this when you want to be depressed, and this one when you want to be happy, and this one when you're looking for something more serious, and this one for romance, and blah, blah, blah. You know, sometimes I wonder if, as anime continues to progress and the road is kind of going down, if I'm even going to allow them, or at least, like, show them or introduce them to anime. Like, and that's kind of weird coming from a guy like me. Like, if, like, anime were a religion, I'd be a freaking priest up in this mug, all right? Like, I love this stuff, man. Like, I live for it. But, you know, sometimes I wonder, like, with some of the stuff that exists out there, and I know there's stuff for kids, all right? Just shut up, all right? Shut up. But sometimes I wonder, You know, you let them go too far down the rabbit hole, and you know where this rabbit hole ends up. Is it worth it? And then, you know, then I told myself to shut up, and it's like, of course I'm going to show my kids anime, or show my little brothers and sister anime. And it's probably going to be a curated list, but that's how it always starts, right? Like, you can't just show them, like, stick to this kind of anime. Then, like, once you get somebody addicted, they're going to keep going and going and going until they're gone, you know, that kind of thing. So I wonder if something I'm even going to show my kids. Let's just say I'm going to have kids. I'm not, but whatever. Children in my family. If this is something that I'm going to, like, you know, introduce them to and get them involved in it. Because, you know, I mean, just think about the last, I don't know, let's just say 15 anime. It depends how much you watch. I watch a lot. But let's just say the last 15 anime you watched. And obviously there's going to be some wholesome stuff in there. There's going to be some etchy stuff in there. You know, it's just, it runs the gambit. And how many of these shows would you recommend to a child? And again, it comes down to the type you watch. But just in general, if you're a seasonal watcher, here's a better way to put it. If you watch anime by the seasons, where you just basically watch whatever show that comes up at any time, you know, during the season, how many of those shows would you, you know, recommend to a kid? You know, just think about it. Ask yourself that. But anyway, lollies and shoulders and hentai. Do you, in anime, do you have a problem with it? Do you? You want to know if I do? Don't worry about it. Anyway, this is Batman Live 2002. Hope you enjoy the podcast. I have more thought-provoking insights on hentai and anime. Thought provoking, right? Anyway, I need you people to do me one favor. Just one little favor for me, please. Just one little favor. Stay with Sawsome, people. Stay with Sawsome.
Follow us Awesome on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Until next time, Janet.